Before we get into today's episode, I want to invite you on a unique spiritual journey this Advent season. It's called Journey to Bethlehem, and it's a free 9-day text message series designed to prepare your heart for Christmas. Starting on December the 17th, each day leading up to Christmas, you'll receive a short reflective message pointing you to the hope, peace, joy, and love found in the coming of Christ. It's completely free and a great way to keep your focus on Jesus this season. Why not sign up today at premierinsight.org/resources? That's premierinsight.org/resources. Now, here's today's podcast.
The C.S. Lewis Podcast with Alistair McGrath.
Thank you for listening to the show that brings you the thought and theology of C.S. Lewis with me, Ruth Jackson. Discover more about Lewis by visiting premierunbelievable.com, where you can also find lots of great articles, resources and podcasts. And you can also register there for the chance to win a free book. If you enjoy listening to the C.S. Lewis podcast, please do consider rating and reviewing it. But now for today's show.
Well, I am absolutely delighted today to be joined by Dr. Lillian Linden, who has a degree in philosophy of religion and wrote her master's thesis on Lewis's view of miracles. The title of her PhD was C.S. Lewis and Idealism. Lillian is the director of the Swedish part of IFES Finland and has imported the Veritas Forum concept to Finland. We'll be talking about Lillian's work on C.S. Lewis, as well as sharing a paper that she presented at the 2024 Undiscovered C.S. Lewis Conference, which was held at George Fox University. The title of Lillian's paper there was Did Lewis Credit Barfield for What He Learned from Steiner? Lillian, we're about to hear your paper from the Undiscovered C.S. Lewis Conference. Are there any of Lewis's works that you think it might be helpful for us to have read before we listen to your talk?
Yeah, so his autobiography, Surprised by Joy, I guess that's a basic work if you want to know what he has, like about his philosophical development, where he describes his way to the Christian faith. So that's very helpful. But also Early Prose Joy, where he goes more into detail in his philosophical journey. So these two I would recommend if you're interested before listening to this paper.
What you are about to hear is Lillian's paper from the 2024 Undiscovered C.S. Lewis Conference, which was held at George Fox University. The title of Lillian's paper was Did Lewis Credit Barfield for What He Learned from Steiner?
So I'm Lillian from Finland, and I hope you will excuse, I'm not a native English speaker. My mother tongue is Swedish, but I have had to learn Finnish as well. I became a doctor of theology in June this year, and the theme of my dissertation was C.S. Lewis and idealism. So I took, from the fourth chapter, I took like a part to talk about here. So the theme of this session is whether Lewis gave credit to Barfield for something he learned from Steiner. So according to Surprised by Joy, Lewis credited Barfield for transiting from one philosophical worldview to another, from realism to idealism. And the Great War was instrumental in this. Lewis also noted that the Great War started because Barfield became an anthroposophist. So the quote is about that. For Barfield's conversion to anthroposophy marked the beginning or what I can only describe as the Great War between him and me. It was an almost incessant disputation, sometimes by letter and sometimes face to face, which lasted for years. And this war became one of the turning points in my life. So Barfield became an anthroposophist, the Great War debate took place, and it was a great turning point in Lewis' philosophical life. This was the outline of events. But the in-depth connectedness that Lewis expressed to Barfield has been a challenge for researchers, and we just heard one vision, what could be the solution to this. And I have another view, so we can discuss this afterwards. But as recently as 2021, Feinendegen and Smilde speculated on what Lewis could have meant by giving credit to Barfield. So Feinendegen, for his part, concluded that Barfield did not have the influence on Lewis that Lewis claimed, at least to any other written sources other than Surprised by Joy. Smilde agreed, and I have a quote from him that I'm not going to read, but you can read it if you want. According to him, Barfield seemed to have nothing to do with the influence on Lewis. Two other recent interpreters of Barfield's thought, Loftin and Leif, I don't know if I pronounced that right, but anyway, they are just as uncertain as to how Barfield would have influenced Lewis. They mention that Lewis had to give up two things, chronological snobbery and materialism, but they refer only to Surprised by Joy, no other sources. And it seems that not even Barfield himself was sure how he would have influenced Lewis. He believed some sort of inconsistency was evident in Lewis' often stated claim, since Lewis apparently rejected almost all that was distinctive in Barfield's thought. "What am I supposed to have taught him?" he said. "He continues to deny everything I say." This is from a foreword in a book by Tennyson. So now for the new suggestion. And this view is based on a letter from 1952 where Lewis mentioned Steiner, and that Steiner had affected him philosophically. Yes. And in the letter, Lewis explains his relationship to anthroposophy. He mentions two friends. He doesn't name them, but we assume that it is Barfield and Harwood. Steiner, on the other hand, is mentioned several times. So it seems from this letter that it was Steiner and not the friends that had an impact on Lewis. So this goes like this. "Dear Miss Montgomery, my relations to anthroposophy were these. When I was a student, all my friends and I were ordinary modern atheists. Then two of my friends got caught up by Steiner. I loathed this, and it led to frightful arguments for several years. During these arguments, I heard nothing that would convert me to anthroposophy, but the negative side of Steiner, his case against the common modern pseudoscientific attitude, proved to be unanswerable. That is, I didn't think what he affirmed was true, but I did think all his denials were right." So this is interesting, right? What were these denials? And he continued regarding Steiner. So about Steiner, "His shattering of the ordinary attitude left the way open for Christianity, so far as I was concerned. Since then, I have always had a kindly feeling towards his system." In the letter, Lewis also stated that the system of Steiner was far nearer to Christianity than the ordinary modern materialism. So from the choice of terms in this letter, so he uses ordinary modern atheism, ordinary modern materialism, and this common modern pseudoscientific attitude. So it seems like they are interchangeable to him. And since no one so far has found any philosophical arguments from Barfield against materialism, or realism for that matter, I decided to try the view. If Steiner had provided Lewis with these arguments, would that be possible? And I think it's possible, even if it's maybe not conclusive yet, at least. And no, I'm going to jump a bit here. No, that's not good. Maybe I'll explain why I came to think of this later. In his book, Philosophy of Freedom, Steiner argued against several philosophies of the day that he thought were a hindrance to thinking freely. And one of the philosophies he argued against was materialism. And he criticized it for not being able to vouch for itself as a worldview.
The C.S. Lewis Podcast with Alistair McGrath.
We're going to take a quick break now, but if you are enjoying today's show, please do consider rating it and leaving a review on your podcast platform so that other people can discover it too.
Have you ever found yourself wondering if it's still possible to have civil conversations in today's culture wars? That's exactly why we want to send you a brand new and exclusive booklet called Arguing for the Sake of Heaven, a look at the life and legacy of Charlie Kirk. This compelling resource reflects on Charlie's legacy and the controversies he sparked, but more importantly, it explores how we can recover the art of disagreeing agreeably. In a polarized world, how do we defend free speech, speak the truth in love, and pursue truth without fear? I believe this is a resource that every thoughtful Christian should have, and right now, it's our special thanks to you for your gift to Premier Insight. Your support helps ensure that content like this podcast and so many others continue reaching people who are searching for wisdom, truth, and hope. So I encourage you to give today by visiting premierinsight.org/cslewis. That's premierinsight.org/cslewis to receive your copy today. Now let's get back to today's episode.
The C.S. Lewis Podcast with Alistair McGrath.
Welcome back to the show. We would love to hear your thoughts and ideas. Do get in touch on social media at Premier Unbelievable. Now let's return to the conversation.
Materialism is the view that everything real is of physical nature. And this means that a materialist will try to ascribe also the thinking process to physical processes. This is what Steiner said. Physical processes, however, will never be enough to explain thinking. But if materialism cannot vouch for true thinking, it is refuted by its own assumptions. And for those of you who had read Lewis' book Miracles, you will maybe recognize this argument. So according to Steiner, the materialist tries to save its stance by arguing that thinking is not free-floating, but rather takes place in the brain. This does not help the materialist, though, because the brain cannot vouch for correctness, this is what Steiner says, of thinking any better than any other kind of matter, because brain is also matter. And I will not go into this now, but this is an argument Lewis uses also in the Summa that he wrote in the end of the Great War with Barfield. So just to show what arguments Lewis then later used in Miracles, this is the short version from the essay Miracles in God in the Dock before the book Miracles was written and published. In order to think, we must claim for our own reasoning a validity which is not credible if our own thought is merely a function of our brain, and our brains just a byproduct of irrational physical processes. And this is then a longer version from the book Miracles. So he used very similar arguments like that Steiner did. No account of the universe can be true unless that account leaves it possible for our thinking to be a real insight. A theory which explained everything else in the whole universe, but made it impossible to believe that our thinking is valid, would be utterly out of court. For that theory would itself have been reached by thinking, and if thinking is not valid, that theory would of course be itself demolished. It would have destroyed its own credentials. It would be an argument which proved that no arguments was sound, a proof that there are no such things as proofs, which is nonsense. So my suggestion is that Lewis was aware of this argument by Steiner, and that he built on it in his book Miracles. This, of course, raises a lot of other questions. Why would Lewis have built on an argument from Steiner? And why would he not have mentioned it before 1952 in a letter? Maybe we can return to this in the discussions. Another question is whether Lewis ever read Steiner. So let us look at a few arguments for and against this. If Steiner as a source is a possible option, Barthel Field, for his part, was really disappointed that Lewis did not seem to show any interest in Steiner. It just seemed that Lewis tolerated Barthel's views as long as they were his own, but he did not want to know what Steiner said. So now I come to my theory or view why I think Lewis actually read Steiner. So in May 1928, when Barthel published Poetic Diction, Lewis received a copy of it and commented on it in a letter. And Barthel had quoted quite a long passage from Steiner, and Lewis wrote in his letter to Barthel that to my amazement, I agree to something Steiner has said. And it was actually something that Barthel shouldn't have agreed to, but Lewis agreed to it. We can get back to this maybe. But my take now is that Lewis was so intrigued by this that he found something that he agreed to, that Steiner had said, that he wanted to look into it. And because he could find it in the Philosophy of Freedom book, he went there, he found the passage, but he also found other stuff. And in another chapter, this argument against materialism. So this is how I thought, because he agreed to this passage, I wanted to look it up, and then I found this argument against materialism. So maybe he did the same, so to speak. Jason Lepojärvi, as you all know, he was the opponent in my public defense of the PhD, and he asked me to ask around in the libraries in Oxford if anyone would have any notions of Lewis ever borrowing any books by Steiner. But they haven't found anything like that, so that's not a piece of evidence. But Lewis said, for example, in Surprise by Joy, that anthroposophy is reassuringly dull, which could sound like he actually read something. And in another letter from 1940, he admitted that the works of Steiner are extremely difficult reading. So, sounds promising. Yes, and he also mentions in a review of one of Barthel's books that Steiner is alien and even disquieting to most English readers. So, just the mention of readers there. So, in a letter to a day, Barthel also mentioned in passing that the book Philosophy of Freedom was the book by Steiner that was most important during the Great War, or the most relevant to my bicker with C.S. Lewis. That's just a mention, like going past like this. Anyway, my suggestion is that Lewis was influenced by Steiner, that he had read him, and that he for some reason did not want to state this in Surprised by Joy, but that he thanked Barfield for it instead. And the 1952 letter is very close to 1955, Surprised by Joy, just a few years apart there. So I think this also is an argument for this. Yes. Yeah, I can stop there. Thank you for listening.
That was Dr. Lillian Linden's paper, Did Lewis Credit Barfield for What He Learned from Steiner?, which was given at the 2024 Undiscovered C.S. Lewis Conference held at George Fox University. Lillian, now that we've heard your paper, are there any other final helpful clarifications or anything else you want to say?
Yes, I could just share that I was so surprised myself when I was looking through these Great War letters, just trying to understand Lewis, that there are still things to be discovered. And I think it's really encouraging for scholars that all these years, and so much have been written about Lewis, that there are still new things to be discovered. So just an encouragement to all the scholars, Lewis scholars out there, that there's still things to be found.
Yeah. Keep searching, keep looking, and let us know about your new discoveries.
Yeah, exactly.
Lillian, where can we go to find out more about you and your work and some of the things that you're up to?
Well, I'd be happy to mention my PhD, because you can find it online. If you Google on my name and C.S. Lewis and idealism, you can find it. It's Doria and the portal of Åbo Akademi University. It's there as a PDF, so...
Great. I'll make sure there's a link to that in the notes as well, so people can just click on that.
Thank you. Thank you.
Great. Well, Lillian, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us today.
I was so glad to be invited, and you're so easy to talk to. So thank you for having me.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to the C.S. Lewis podcast with me, Ruth Jackson. Many of the topics that we've touched on today are discussed in greater detail on earlier episodes of the programme. Check out our archive of past shows at premierunbelievable.com, where you can also find lots of great articles, videos and podcasts. Plus, if you register on our website or sign up for our newsletter there, then you will get exclusive access to new content, free resources and more. That's premierunbelievable.com. What did you think of today's show? Are there any topics or works of C.S. Lewis that you would like us to explore next? We would love to hear from you. Send us an email, unbelievable@premier.org.uk. Connect with us on X, formerly known as Twitter, @premierunbelievablefe, or drop us a direct message on Instagram or Facebook @premierunbelievable. We have also recently launched on TikTok, so if that's your thing, or you know anyone else who might be interested, then you can find us there @premier.unbelievable. Your feedback and thoughts are so important to us, so please get in touch. If you're enjoying the C.S. Lewis podcast, please do consider rating and reviewing it on whatever platform you're listening on, as it helps more people to discover the show. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.